Hey everyone, just a quick warning that today's episode does contain some colorful and strong language throughout, so if you are listening with kids nearby, just a warning that you may want to hold off on this episode for the time being, if that's your thing. While some language does enhance our listening experience and brings out the full color of our guests and the conversation, the language may not be suitable for the ears of your boring children.
Hey Corgan.
Hey Parson.
I was thinking, what are you doing Saturday, August 25th?
Well, I have no plans because I live under a rock.
Well, my friend, for all of those people out there who do not live under rocks,
we've got an event coming up.
Your plans for that night.
We've got an event coming up.
Ready to go right now.
August 25th.
Because Show ATL is presenting.
We've got an event coming up.
Saturday, August 25th.
We've got an event coming up.
We have a little announcement to make, don't we?
Yes, August 25th. We have an event for you guys.
That's right. Show ATL presents Cultivate Volume 1 at Blue Mark Studios.
Cultivate Volume 1.
Right here in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's called Volume 1.
Cultivate Volume 1.
Because this will be the first installment in a series of recurring quarterly events.
Volume 1.
Hosted by us.
Get out.
That will feature music, art.
We've got food. We've got drinks.
Fashion, food, drink.
Arts, fashion.
Music, art.
Tech, design.
And a little bit of an educational aspect via a speaker panel.
And a speaker panel.
A little bit of an educational
speaker panel.
This first Cultivates panel is on the topic, the state of art in Atlanta. Corgan, who are some people we can expect to see on this panel?
We have you, Kylan, of Kylan Art.
Saturday, August 25th.
Marcus and Jake.
Marcus Whitaker and Jake Jarado of Familyhood ATL.
Of Familyhood.
That's right. There might be more folks, and there will definitely be a lot of good times.
Come.
The event will run from 7 p.m. to midnight.
Come.
Again, at Blue Mark Gallery in West Midtown.
We'll help you out.
And afterwards, there is a little after party at Edgewood Speakeasy.
We'll set you straight.
Corgan, how much does it cost to get into the event?
It's free.
I'm sorry, what?
$0.
I'm sorry, what?
It's free.
How much does it cost?
Free.
I'm sorry, what?
Free.
I'm sorry.
$0.
Oh my sweet goodness. What charitable people would put on an event this incredible for free?
$0.
It's free, folks. You have no excuse not to come out.
There's going to be an after party.
Saturday, August 25th.
Come.
The Show ATL presents Cultivate Volume Number 1.
Free.
Corgan, where can they learn about the event and buy tickets?
You can find tickets by going to our website.
Maybe the best night of your life.
By going to our Facebook page.
We want to see you there and we want to...
going to our Eventbrite page.
Give you a good time.
Cultivate Volume 1, or just reach out to us.
Maybe the best night of your life.
It's free.
What's up, everyone? My guests tonight are Marcus Whitaker and Jake Giaurado of Familyhood ATL. This is part two of a conversation that I had with Jake and Marcus about Familyhood and about how they are shaping the Atlanta art scene with the art shows that they regularly put on. We pick up the conversation from where we left it off on the last episode, which was part one. So enjoy what is now part two of my conversation with Familyhood ATL. That is Marcus Whitaker and Jake Giaurado. Enjoy.
I mean, people want what's unique and different.
I suppose we're turning people on to vinyl just by being there.
The new wave is stylish alcoholics.
We're developing into a culture where it's a little strange and people are okay with it.
No, it's the Show ATL podcast. But I want to get back to Familyhood and especially the first year and kind of bring that to where you are now. So in the first year, you guys had 13 events in 2017. So that's over one a month and have connected over 100 artists or had connected over 100 artists in Atlanta to the overall community in that first year and now over 200 in 2018. Some of the big shows you guys have had, you mentioned this huge kind of local outpouring of support at Eventide Brewing. You mentioned a few shows by name, the Mutiny Show. You mentioned Lost in Reverie. Tell me how we've heard about the inception, but tell me how some of the early shows influenced your direction and where you are now. Specifically, tell me about the Mutiny show. Tell me about some of the more recent shows like Lost in Reverie and the Octane coffee shows that you guys have been doing.
Yeah, I'll let Jake answer that. He's been, I think, the biggest driving force in Familyhood when it comes to evolving the shows. So I'll let him take it away.
Well, Mark has played a really big part with developing a strong relationship with Eventide, because they were doing the Twilight sessions when Familyhood was just tailored to music during that time period. But we really do appreciate the relationship we had with Eventide. It gave us an opportunity to show artists and the community and specifically the people of Grant Park who we are and what our purpose is. And, you know, you would go to the shows, and at first we made the best of it. You know, it wasn't a place that was made for art showcasing. But then again, a lot of places that we showcase really isn't. So
sure,
that kind of just structured us and conditioned us to make the best of what we got. You know, in the beginning of 2017, our focus was to gain the trust of the local artists and gain the trust of our community and show that we're authentic and that we're genuine. And, you know, our purpose is to bring everybody together and highlight our local creatives. And Eventide did a great job hosting us. You know, they had their local beer, which we were able to support as well. And a lot of people came out to art shows, of course, had a few brews. You know, that was one way that we felt like, okay, you know, we're also contributing to them as well. But once we started developing our following, and we felt that, you know, we need to challenge ourselves some more, because by that point, I think we had done about 6 or 7 art shows at Eventide. You know, we will plan a whole month for the art show, wrap it up, take a week off, and then start getting our lineup. You know, start figuring out how we're going to make the show a bit different. You know, since we're new to this, we're figuring out ways that we could improve ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got to the point where it was just like, okay, we're used to this. We need to move to the next step. Marcus went ahead and he was able to lock down Mutiny Artworks as a venue. And I remember just walking into that fucking warehouse and being like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
we're going to do a show here? Like, how the fuck are we going to do this? This place is huge.
So describe it. And because this is a podcast and because so much is lost in the lack of having any sort of visual representation, describe what the space looked like. And getting into the show kind of before and after, from, I guess, setup. So when you came into the blank space, what did you see? And then what did that show end up looking like?
When we first walked in there, I was just hit by the energy of all the creatives who are working in there. Mutiny Artworks focuses on developing studios for all types of creatives. That right there inspired me. I was like, man, this is awesome. We could utilize this space and kind of create a gallery space, but what else could we do? Because there's so much, it's so big. You walk in here and it's just the size of like 3 Lowe's Home Improvements.
Oh my God.
And
wow.
We wanted to challenge ourselves and not just cut it in half and utilize half of the space. We're like, okay, let's go ahead and take the entire building. So it took us about a month and a half to thoroughly create that art show. We went ahead and we white walled one section of the warehouse where we decided to showcase all the artwork. We purchased some lighting and hung up over 37 light fixtures, figured out all the electrical work and whatnot to make it look decent.
Mm-hmm.
Because considering it was a warehouse, I mean, it's not your ideal spot to showcase artwork. And then there was so much wall space and so much creative freedom with the permission of the people who run Mutiny Artworks. We were able to connect with a whole bunch of local artists to do murals before the art show, and then some who were willing to do some live painting as well. And that right there was just like, okay, you know, this is giving us an opportunity to do what we feel like, to show our true potential. You know, going from Eventide, where we're showcasing maybe 8 to 10 people, to we're showcasing 17 people. There's already 4 murals that have already been painted previously. There's 3 murals that are being painted live. You have 2 other painters who are doing live painting. And then we also have Controllerize and his group. And we also had Michael as well playing their music. So walking in there, man, it was a challenge overall. But towards the end, I mean, it took us literally like 2 hours before the art show to wrap up that whole setup.
Oh, wow. And yeah, I've been there with some of the stuff Show ATL has done. It's Sometimes you just have the space is just over what you're able to do, and you just end up pushing it right to the wire in terms of setup. But yeah, sometimes that turns out to be the best kind of show.
Yeah, and I cherished that part. I mean, I love the outcome, but the process, man, it was just like that really truly developed the relationship between me and Marcus.
I bet.
You know, we were like, hey, we have this idea, we're running with it. But now it's like, hey, it's time to really give it our all. So, you know, after a month and a half of preparing, literally getting home at 2 a.m. in the morning after painting murals and setting up light fixtures, we would look at each other during the art show and just say, holy shit, dude, we fucking pulled this off.
Yeah, that was nuts.
That's awesome. I with Show ATL's first event, weird New Year's Eve that we did, well, this past New Year's Eve, Jan 1, December 31st, Corrigan and I had kind of a similar moment where we had inherited this decrepit warehouse and had, you know, put 30 hours a week probably into just full-on renovations. And, you know, thankfully with a lot of help from the community, you guys included, helping us put up artwork and people coming in and putting up lights. And, you know, we built a stage, the two of us, like by hand, had artists come in and put up artwork, had musicians come in, put up lights and stage effects. There is this, for me, it was the day of, and I'm describing a moment which I think is kind of what you had just described, and it's this moment of the day of the show. It was about 4 hours before curtain, as you would call it on the stage, but just like doors, you know, of the event. And I'm standing in the middle of the warehouse after pouring my heart and soul into this for the last 30 days, and there are probably 30, 40 plus people all around me, and everybody's busy. Some guys are hanging up lights, some guys are hanging up painting, some guys are like, you know, setting up sound equipment, some guys are painting, some people are putting up like decorations by the door, and I'm like, holy shit, like we did it, you know, and it like, it came together, and it's so much work to your point that there are some points where you just feel like it's not worth it, but then there's that single moment that makes the entire thing worth it. So I think that's so powerful, and I think that's the sign of a really, you're about to put on something really fucking great when you have like that gut feeling of holy shit, like it happened. I didn't think it was going to happen, but it did.
It's definitely a stepping stone. You know, I feel like everything is created with an idea. Every physical object that we see, any store that we walk into, showcase that we walk into. And if you were to challenge yourself, especially startups like us, you know, we have this idea, we get to it, we accomplish it, and it's like, okay, we did that. Let's make it even harder and see how much further we can go.
Yep. I love that. Marcus, if you have anything to add, / if you want to kind of take it into where you guys are now with some of your more recent shows like Lost in Reverie and what you're currently doing at Octane.
Yeah. So Familyhood 2018 and 2017, it's vastly different stages for us. And it took, I think we're still reflecting a lot on what we learned last year. We went so hard and we really believe in the power of consistency and don't think we would be where we're at now if we didn't do those shows every month. Plus the we did two shows with a collaboration show, which is like how we did 13 shows in 1 year. And you know, what we learned from that was how important it is to actually like form these authentic relationships with the community of Atlanta, mm-hmm. all of the communities, not just one. But then for 2018, we really wanted just to go all out. Like after the Mutiny Artwork show, we realized what our potential was. We knew that wasn't our ceiling. We knew we can always go higher. And we still haven't really done exactly what we want just because we haven't had the kind of space that we wanted yet. But Mutiny was as close as we got. And then Lost in Reverie, that show is happening. And Julio, Caroline Chez, Nikki Zarabi, Liang and her sister, incredible artist lineup for that show.
And that was more of an installation show.
It was an installation show. Yeah. And that was our first show of 2018. And another thing I just love about the work that Jake and I do, we're both pushing each other all the time to be like, what can we do different? You know, and I'm someone that gets really bored if I'm doing the same thing all the time. Like I have to always be doing something that's like developing myself, pushing myself, you know, learning something. I knew nothing about installation art. He knew nothing about installation art. Nikki Zarabi was like our, and Leanne Culver and her sister, and Caroline. They all brought a lot to the table with installation art. And
what, I'm sorry to cut you off, but what is installation art?
That's a great question, asking someone that isn't, I'm not an installation artist, but I think
sorry to put you on the spot, but yeah, I feel like most people wouldn't be able to really understand like how that's different from just any other art show.
Yeah, I think to someone that doesn't know installation art, think about it like you're literally installing something on a wall or in a space, like just like you'd bring furniture. And I'm honestly looking at Parse's apartment right now and bringing words to my to this, but you know, you're bringing furniture and you're installing things in your house to make it this environment. And installation art is very much the same thing. You know, you have artists, instead of putting paint on a canvas, they're using three-dimensional objects to form something that they're going to install in an area to make it come alive, you know. And a lot of times these types of installation art, you interact with them, you know. Caroline had a piece, those mirrors, and you look into them and it's an infinity box. You just see flowers and it's like this, like you feel like you're just in this world of endless flowers, you know. It's incredible. And then Leanne had a room that she literally made a room that you walked, or and her sister, you walked into this room and you just felt like you were just in a different universe. And across from that, same thing. Julio did the exact same thing. And Nikki had beautiful pieces as well that you just were mesmerized by. You had to look at the each piece that she did in every angle. And all the artists did that. Like Jake's piece. Same thing, you know, with the vines and leaves. And it makes that, the best way to look, think about it, you know, you see a painting on a wall, but imagine that alive, like three-dimensional. Right. You can touch it, you can feel it. Sometimes you can smell it, depending on what kind of art they're doing. But it's another way of interacting with art. And that's what drew us to it. We wanted to do a show where people came out, experienced artwork like they've never experienced before. And that whole team that we assembled for that show absolutely killed it. Like, literally pretty flawless execution. I mean, there's things that we all would say we would have done differently. Sure. But we literally had 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, I don't know.
We had about a solid 14 hours before the show actually started on the dot.
To set up, yeah.
And all these artists prep for about a month and a half, and they really didn't develop anything until the day of. So all
that's incredible.
Yeah, so everything they did was either drawn on or it was just lingering in their head, and then it was like, all right guys, showtime, you know. Yeah. Put that shit together. And these artists were just very professional and independent, and even though they had a shitload to handle themselves with their own particular installation, they were still willing to assist the other artists. And it was just like, man, this is what it's all about. It was like the fucking A-team. But it was good, man. I mean, like, you saw people come, and instead of just taking a picture of them looking at the painting or a picture of someone in front of a mural, like, they're actually interacting with these pieces.
Right.
You know, they're touching it. There was a few installations where there was actually scents, like Marcus said, you walk in, you could smell the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And they purposely did that, you know. So it was a big challenge for us. Not only was it because it was our first art show of the year and we wanted to go big, but we had never done anything like that. And about 80% of the artists that we were showcasing of our lineup had never done installations before. I mean, even myself, I came up with my idea the day before the art show. I had this whole other idea for my installation, and after seeing how great these other artists were putting their installation together, I was like, man, I need to step it up. And so it was a challenge, but it was a really great experience. Everybody did an awesome job, and everything worked out for the best.
That's awesome. It was a wonderful show. My girlfriend Nikki and I attended. We're family friends with Nikki Zarabi, and just obviously having met you guys before the show as well, we're that much more invested in the artwork. But at the same time, it was a very immersive experience, and it made me realize that the process of putting together an art show is as creative as putting together the individual artworks themselves, because you have to be meticulous and deliberate about how you set things up, because you're creating an experience for the people that come in to see that show, which I think was beautiful. And you guys are now at Octane Coffee, as we had mentioned earlier, in, well, I guess now it's Revelator Coffee, but to, you know, for longtime citizens of Atlanta.
Still have the Octane West Side is still Octane, though.
Okay, awesome. So that's on Marietta Street, but kind of where Howell Mill ends, near Bacato, Bartaco, etc., in West Midtown. And you guys have done two art shows there, correct? And you have another one coming up, right?
Yep.
So tell me about your next show. When is that? When can people catch you guys?
Yeah, so we are going to be back at Octane Coffee on September 1st. I believe that's a Saturday. I think it's Saturday. And this one's going to be a little different. We're kind of going for a block party vibe. Trying to go big, you know, we love Octane Coffee, and it's been honestly kind of like a dream come true for Familyhood in terms of working with one of Atlanta's most recognized brands in Atlanta in right. terms of where local creatives go to hang out, and that's Octane Coffee. And we've had the pleasure of selling a lot of awesome artwork there too, which has been cool. And even, you know, one of your friends, that's super cool. And so Octane Coffee's been an awesome spot. And, you know, we kind of going back into what we were just talking about with what Familyhood was and what it is now, we definitely struggled to kind of find like a foothold in 2018. Like, we're still right. trying to find that area, because we really want to, like, you know, step it up every year. You know, like, Jake and I are always pushing ourselves, and if we're not advancing every month, we're kind of left stumbling a little bit and yeah. asking ourselves what's going on, you know. And Octane has been that opportunity for us to keep those creative juices flowing, you know, and which has been so nice. And like, without Octane, we'd probably be losing our mind right now. And so our September 1st show, we wanted to go big. We didn't want to do what we've already been doing. Our past two shows have been really successful. They're very like chill lounge hangouts, which is honestly, that's what we want. You know, like, whenever we have the chance to open up our own spot, like, we're huge fans of the lounge vibe, where you just come out, sit down, listen to music, have a drink, eat some food, hang out for a few hours with some friends, meet some new people. That's Familyhood. And we strongly believe in like a once a year blowout, you know, like everyone comes together, we get double the lineup that we normally do, have some live art going on, more musicians than we usually do. And then just like really have like put our whole soul into creating this cool environment. And that's really what we're doing September 1st, is just getting everyone together again and reminding people that Familyhood is here for them, you know, and our mission isn't complex and it's always simple. Like, I remind myself that all the time, every time I try to overcomplicate what we do. And I always explain that to people, or after giving a 5-minute explanation of what we do, I always remind myself to tell them like, hey, you know, we're just trying to bring people together. That's all we're doing. So right. we really just want to do a block party, get people to come out and love Atlanta with us.
Yeah. Is the event out there for people to get tickets to? Does it have a name? Does it cost anything?
No, it's the first time we've really talked about it with people. And yeah, so expect, I don't know when this episode will be dropping, so by the time you listen to this, you may or may not have already RSVP'd to it. But hopefully it'll be out in the next couple weeks as of this discussion we're having now.
I'm looking forward to that. I've got a couple more things I want to touch base with you guys on, and I'm sorry that we've gone kind of really long on this episode, but I think this is going to be one of the better ones. Your logo, I love it's, so the Familyhood ATL logo is just two hands. It's like a forearm and above, sticking vertically upward, giving two separate gestures. One is a peace sign and the other is a closed fist. And both hands have these kind of different tattoo styles on them. I was trying to think of a good descriptor, but I couldn't think of one because I want to pass it to you guys. What is your logo? I think I kind of already know what it is, obviously, but I think that everybody else kind of out there deserves to know what your logo is and why you came up with that logo. Whoever wants to answer.
Yeah, Jake.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we started the company and we're like, well, we need a logo, right? It just makes sense. And we were working with someone who was setting up some designs and whatnot. And I think about like 3 months had gone by that point. And we're like, all right, bro, it's time to fucking develop a logo already. So I was just sitting out, man, drawing. And I really don't recall why I did it, but I drew Marcus's hand throwing up the peace sign.
Oh, no, I have to interrupt Jake for a second. Jake did a photo, a poster design for us in February, our second art show ever.
Right. Okay.
And I have it printed on my fridge right now. And he had a bunch of hands at the bottom of it. It was actually during, I think, protests were going on at the time.
Yeah, because Trump had just become president.
Yeah, Trump just became president.
Yeah, man, fuck
and,
that guy.
Yeah, fuck Trump, man. And the airport, the big airport protest is happening with...
yeah, I was there, you know, man. Good times.
Yeah, I was there too. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was meaningful for you, you know? And so at that time, we were all about making things relevant. And I can't remember the exact conversation we had. But anyway, he ended up at the bottom of the poster, there's a bunch of like, there's a peace sign, a fist, there's a person holding up a picket sign that says like, enjoy community art, you know, like
I love
just
that.
Like positive things, little happy faces. And if you, it's hilarious because if you go back and look at the illustration style, it's like complete garbage to what Jake can do now. I have no clue.
Rough crowd.
I have no clue what was going on.
Everything was made by hand. I would literally every month we had an art show. I didn't have digital art on my laptop, or I didn't have an iPad Pro.
Yeah.
So I would illustrate everything, paint it. There'd be times where we would fuck up on the date or something and have to redo it. And but because of that, I mean, you just refresh my memory.
Yeah. So anyway, we needed a logo. And I think at the time, it's funny to think, because, you know, in your first 6 months to a year starting a company, you're obsessed with everything, you know. And I was at the time just always doing something with Familyhood, and we knew we needed a logo. So I remember pulling the way that Jake would always illustrate. If you go back and look at our older posters, it's like Familyhood ATL art. Mm-hmm. You know, that was, he always illustrated in a very similar font. It's like a font that he draws in. Well, I guess like illustrates, whatever.
Sure.
And I was able, I'm like a novice graphic designer. And so I would open up my editing app and I pulled the F and the H from the posters, and then I made it like, I put them together, and I took the peace sign and the fist together, and I was like, oh, this looks cool. Of the hands on the bottom. Okay. I pulled those from the posters and I was like, yo, dude, I want to make this our logo.
Yeah.
Like for now, like just, we need something. Cause I was at the time using a really shitty font that I found. Like, I have no clue. Like looking back, it's embarrassing. But yeah, so that's what there. We did. And you know, we're still waiting to get our logo back from a designer we were working with. And we probably used that logo. Like we probably did like 5 or 6 posters with this font. And
right.
then I think Jake was the one that was like, dude, he's like, this is our logo, man. And it was just that font that you see Familyhood now. Have you ever seen Familyhood ATL written anywhere? That's how, that was literally from almost day one. And then the fist came about, I think we're just like,
it was so after he did that, I was like, well, Marcus, you're my best friend now, so I need to bring you home and introduce you to Miami and, you know, my family and the Cuban culture. So we flew down to Miami. First thing we did was I got some colada, which was some very high concentrated caffeine with a lot of sugar.
Yes, speaking my language.
And then we went out to Wynwood and we started just taking photos and shit. And we did that. We did a photo with our hands up in the air right in front of this dope ass mural. I was forming a fist with my hand. Mm-hmm. And he was forming a peace sign. I formed the fist with my arm that has my tattoo. And then he did the peace sign with his arm that has his tattoo. So fast forward, we get back to Atlanta. And so I illustrated that photo, actually. I saw that and I was like, well, this is dope. Let me illustrate our actual hands and draw our tattoos on this.
I love that.
And that's how we moved forward from there.
And
that's
dope. And it's I'm a huge believer in the idea that meanings can, like the meanings of things can come after you know about them. And right. I'll shed light on that now because that makes no sense probably. But with the peace sign and the fist, especially that the initial illustrations came out of that protest from last February. It's the peace and solidarity movement. You know, you have the peace sign, which is just like straight up like peace, no conflict. Let's all come together, guys. And then you have solidarity with the fist.
Right.
And that's just sticking for what you believe in and we're not giving up, you know? And we really felt that's what showcased Familyhood's intentions was the peace sign and the fist. And then we used our own hands and the logo because it's
with
us.
With your own tattoos on
it's
them.
It's me and Jake, you know, and how authentic could that be?
I love that, man. I love y'all's logo. Just a last couple questions I want to touch on. One is what you guys are kind of moving towards as a company. You mentioned you wanted to keep the authentic local vibe, but perhaps expand that to other cities going forward in the long run. And in the short run, you've started something called the Behind the Art series. And you can find that on your website. And you've gotten a couple of interviews with local and artists. And it's essentially just interview editorial. Right. So tell me about the Behind the Art series and then kind of where Familyhood ATL is going.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. Behind the Art started last year. I had a friend named Mercedes Bleth, and she was a photojournalism major out of UGA. And we were kind of Instagram friends, or we had some of our friends cross paths. was actually introduced to her through an ex-girlfriend.
Okay.
Shall just not be for named. Like, just for the sake of podcast, all transparency here. Yeah, so that's kind of how I met her a few years ago. We're kind of Instagram friends over the next few years. She moved to Atlanta. She wanted to get involved with Familyhood and mm-hmm. the creative things that we were doing. And I've always had the idea of sitting down with talking to people. And I love podcasts. I'm a huge podcast nerd. I love reading good interviews. And just like interviews that talk about the real shit, they're not. And you'll notice that's a huge, I can't think of the word. But yeah, it's a thing that you'll hear Jake and I talk about a lot. Like, we don't like the bullshit.
Sure.
We don't want to lead people on with an idea that Familyhood is and we're not. So I want to do this behind the art series where we actually go out and sit down with an artist and talk to them about their artwork, their creative process, what it's like being a local artist, what opportunities in Atlanta do you see? Really just hear the perspective of an artist that's right in Atlanta, you know, like, let them talk about their art, let them and then just kind of talk about the community of Atlanta and get their ideas of what they think about Atlanta, you know? And right. Cause that's how change happens, you know? We got to hear raw conversations of completely unedited, transparent conversation, you know? And Mercedes was on board with it, and we sat down. Nikki Zarabi was our first interview we did, and it was amazing. I still every now and then go back and look at it for inspiration. She was awesome. She was very candid with everything, and that's exactly what we wanted. And
right.
We also realized that after the interview, it's just like, if you go into an interview and, like, you know, even podcasting is what we're doing now, if you have good intentions and you just want to have good conversation, it'll happen. Like, you right. don't have to try to have good conversation if both parties want to have good conversation. But yeah, then we did I can't, Jake's gonna have to say his name. How do you say Jose's last name? Gutierrez? I don't know. Jose's gonna be laughing when he listens to this podcast. We did it with, and then he did it as a photographer. I guess we haven't really talked about that a lot, but yeah, I mean, Familyhood, we lean more towards art, like, or like painting and mixed media art. But we do, like, I love doing photography myself. I love following photographers. So we incorporate photography into Familyhood showcases. So Jose is a great, and his Instagram handle is like @ERREZ, and incredible photographer mm-hmm. and has an incredible mind when it just comes to looking at people and art and the city, and it's just amazing. So we sat down and talked to him about That's what cool. he thinks about the Atlanta art scene and his art, what, you know. So yeah, the Behind the Art series, it was just a way for us to connect with artists this time. You know, our art shows are kind of like a fun thing for us to do, but then right. the Behind the Art series is just like a more intimate version of Familyhood, where we actually sit down, pick an artist's brain, and then we share that with people in yeah. a very well documented way. Like, we're not big on the kind of interviews that I'm gonna, like, I have all these questions and I email them to someone and they fill them out, because it gives that, when you do that, it's, you're not getting like the rawness of conversation, you know. Yeah. It's allowing someone to kind of like edit, say something how they want, whatever.
You're but getting the answer, but you're not getting the person.
Yeah. So when Mercedes and I started Behind the Art series, we went out to Nikki's studio, we went out to a coffee shop with Jose, and we sat down and talked to them, and then we listened for hours, transcribing word for word, making it make sense, making sure the artist is represented well. We would yeah. share the interview with the artist, make sure they agree that, like, hey, this is cool, we can share everything. Then we post it on Instagram and our website. And yeah, and we're stoked to kind of evolve that. You know, we have a lot of ideas and plans for the future that I don't really want to say yet, because I don't know sure, where they are sure. at in that stage. But it's important as an artist, you know, for the artists listening to the show right now, any creatives listening to the show, it's important to read other people's perspectives on things. You know, you got to do your homework. And I listen to so many podcasts on entrepreneurs and creatives. Like,
right.
what's other people's rituals on how they get their creative flow going? When people are traveling, what are they doing when they travel? That's how you become a better version of yourself. That's how you become a better artist, a better photographer, a better entrepreneur.
Sure.
It's just how you become a better person. You know, like, that's, you got to listen to people, like, listen to what people have to say. And to relate that to us is reading it, but that's how we learn from artists, you know. And
yeah.
We want to be that resource for people to to go to learn more about how they can become better at their craft.
Jake, anything to add to that?
No, I mean, that's something that Marcus and Mercedes took on their own. And when I saw it, I was astonished by it. You know, it was a lot of things that I didn't even know about these artists, and I've worked with them in the past. And I'm really excited to see how that's going to evolve. I mean, Marcus and I, we've been in the talks of a few things. And, you know, the way Familyhood started, we had an end result in mind, and that's what we focused on. We didn't really worry about how we were going to get from point A to point B. You know, all the obstacles that we had in front of us, that wasn't our focus. So with these other goals that we have in mind, we're going to keep on trucking the way that we've been doing it for the past year. And I'm pretty sure shit's going to fall in place, man.
Last question before we wrap up. And I like to ask this question of all my guests because I think that the answers just kind of demonstrate the varied perspectives of the individuals in Atlanta creating things and of Atlanta as a city. But it's a very Atlanta-centric question. And the question is, where has Atlanta, seeing Atlanta evolve in the last few years, how has Atlanta evolved from whenever you guys brought Atlanta into your own personal journey? How have you seen the city evolve? And you can answer this in whatever way you want, in terms of artwork, in terms of community, or whatever kind of lens you choose to answer this question through. That's part one. Part two is, where is Atlanta going? Losing my voice here. Part two, where is Atlanta going as a city? Again, you can answer this however you want. Where is it going realistically? And where would you like for it to go? And either of you can start that off. Jake, we can start.
Yeah, I mean, being involved with Familyhood and being able to see how artists have evolved in the last year and a half, that's how I see Atlanta. You know, I mean, that's since I've been here since day one, I've been very into the art community. So there's a lot of times where I'm just like, holy shit, I remember showcasing this artist and he wasn't at the level that he was, you know, where he's at now, and seeing them doing huge murals and commissions and doing a lot of big, great collaborations. You know, seeing that shows that Atlanta, you know, for the most part, is for the artists. And I know there's been some issues with the city and whatnot with the murals, but I love that, you know, and I think there's a lot of potential for not only artists, but just a lot of entrepreneurs here in Atlanta, and a lot of people who have a goal in mind, who have big dreams. I think this is the place to definitely accomplish them.
Where do you see Atlanta going in the next few years?
I think it's going to get big. I hope that the people who have a lot of influence in the city now could understand that and kind of shape it, you know, and kind of direct it the correct way before it gets into the hands of someone who could potentially fuck it up.
And yeah, and corporate interests, as it were.
Yeah, you know, like right now, this is what Atlanta's about. You know, you walk down the Beltline, you go to all these little small parts of the city, and everything is about supporting local.
Right.
There's a lot of people who produce their own stuff, whether it's art or whether it's clothing or just food, you know, local farmers, and everybody supports each other. I think that everybody within their own little circle who have a lot of influence, you know, I would like for them to realize that and use it wisely and start directing it and shaping the future of Atlanta, because I think there's a lot going on here as far as big companies walking in here, a lot of people seeing the opportunities that we see. And since they have the money for it, you know, they're taking advantage of it. But, you know, money is important. But like we said about things being authentic, if you have the right mindset and the right intuition, you could have the control over it.
Marcus, what do you think? Where is Atlanta? How has Atlanta evolved since you've been here, and where is it going? And where would you like it to go?
God, I mean, Atlanta has grown so much in the past, you know, even 3 years, really. I mean, even, I guess 5 years kind of dating back to when I started to get more involved with Atlanta. But I'd say, I mean, there's so many more people here, which has allowed a lot more opportunities to meet new people, to start cool projects and do things with, which is really cool as a creative person. You know, so many businesses have come into here and neighborhoods have changed, you know, like Reynolds Town, Cabbage Town, they've all changed so much in the past 5 years since the Beltline's formed. Just seeing like a lot of these like nice like market, like Pond City Market, Clark Street Market, you know, they're really like dominating these parts of the city now, which is, it's cool, but it has its downsides. You know, like a huge you know, a lot of the negatives inspired us to start Familyhood, you know, at the
sure.
So it's evolved a lot. I think the biggest thing that I've noticed that I like in the positive light is how prideful people are of the city and how involved everyone wants to be, then I noticed that from just familyhood and like how many people reach out to us or like, yo, like, what can we do to help you guys? Or what can we do to be involved? Or people want to be involved with local stuff. It doesn't matter what it is. They just love being involved with it because it creates that value. And I think that's come a long way in Atlanta, mm-hmm. for sure. As far as where I see Atlanta going, it's really hard to say. I think we're in a spot as a city where there's a lot of different ways we can go.
Yeah.
You know, we can be a next LA, and like everyone talks about that. We can be a next San Francisco or Seattle with the talks of Amazon coming into Atlanta, which would dictate a lot of the of where we go. You know, corporate investments have such a tremendous impact on the futures of cities, and it's hard to say where I see Atlanta going. Like, unfortunately, I can see Atlanta leaning on that part where the city is allowing corporate money to come in to the city and fuck with neighborhoods, and they don't care about, you know, displacing families out of homes that they've lived in forever. You know, like, right. Why our house is, you know, $700,000 in an area of Atlanta that used to be like 150 or 200.
Yeah, just a few years ago.
Just a few years ago. And it's sad. That's the sad part. And I love Atlanta. I mean, Jake and I started this brand because we love Atlanta, and we're right. trying to keep the love for Atlanta in all parts of the city. You know, like, shit, we're even the people gentrifying Atlanta, we're trying to connect with them. You know, like, we want them to see the Atlanta that we love so they can see that, because it's all perspective. You know,
right.
The people that are gentrifying Atlanta, they might not know they're doing it. They might, and I'm just saying this in the positive intent, but we're here to show people why they need to love the city, and familyhood is here to really guide the future of Atlanta. You know, we want to be as big of an influence as possible when it comes to the future of Atlanta, because we know that organizations like us, like Ford Warrior, like other people like Kai Lin that host a lot of local talented artists, those are the people that will be the future of Atlanta and will push Atlanta into the kind of city that is going to be remembered as an incredible city that supported their community. And that's what I like to think about Atlanta's future. You know, like, I see all these powerful organizations in Atlanta that are doing their best. I mean, Atlanta United, like you said, like,
right.
It's fucking so cool that soccer is becoming a big thing in the city, you know, and that's uniting so many people.
Yeah.
Pun intended with their name, but it's cool, man. So I can't really give a direct answer on that,
sure.
Just because I think it. I also am just one of those people that think way too much about everything. So I hope the best for Atlanta, but unfortunately, I think there are a lot of things that people that love this city for its authenticity, we
right.
have a lot to fight for and a lot of work to do on driving our future here.
I agree, but thank you guys for doing that work every day with Familyhood ATL and what you guys do.
Yeah, man.
So before we wrap up, either of you, really tell me where people can find Familyhood online, on social media, on the web, where they can find your events, where they can learn more about you individually. Where can people find you guys?
Yeah, so we're big on Instagram at familyhoodATL. We're on Facebook technically, but I just share everything from Instagram, so it's not really a authentic approach. I'm going to use that word a lot. And then our website's www.familyhoodatl.com. You can check out our behind the art interviews there, read our about me, kind of get a little bit more of an insight of what Jake and I do. We have a couple... We have all of our past art shows on there if you want to see any photos from what our events look like, videos of what we do. But yeah, that's it. And reach out to us on Instagram. Message us directly on there. My personal Instagram is just at @TheMarcusWitt. And Jake's is, I'll let you say it.
I mean, it could be a bit complicated with the last name, but it's Jake_Lorado. And I'll just spell it for the heck of it. It's LLAURADO.
Yeah, that's
very
it.
Nice. And before the final end, if you guys could reach out directly through the medium of this podcast to anybody that you want to work with, whether that is an artist or a space, a venue, who would that be? This is your chance, man.
I think we, out of all the art organizations in Atlanta, we highly respect Facet Gallery. If we were ever to do some sort of collaboration or some sort of mentorship, definitely be by Peter and his crew.
There it is. Peter Ferrari at the Facet Gallery. You heard it. If you guys want to work with Familyhood ATL, with Jake and Marcus, they're willing and they're doing awesome things. Marcus Whitaker, Jake Giaurado of Familyhood ATL. Event coming up September 1st, big Familyhood block party of the year. And you can also catch both Jake and Marcus at Show ATL's event Cultivate on August 25th. They'll be on a speaker panel talking about the state of art in Atlanta. Catch them on social media or at www.familyhoodatl.com. Marcus and Jake, thank you so much for being on the Show ATL podcast.
Thanks for having us, man.
Yeah. Anytime, man.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of the Show ATL podcast, the podcast where we seek to find and highlight Atlanta's creative voice by speaking with those who are creating awesome things in our city every day. The podcast is produced by myself, with huge, huge thank you to everybody that I get to sit down with who shares with me their awesome stories and makes my job a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable. Our music is produced by Relax with Alex. If you want to learn more about the Show ATL podcast or anything else Show ATL is doing, you can find us online, www.showatl, that's S-H-O-W-A-T-L.com, or visit us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at Show ATL. If you have any questions, concerns, want to be on the podcast, or know anybody who would be a good fit for the podcast, send us an email, showatlanta@gmail.com, that's showatlanta@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you guys next time.